Hello, welcome to the fourth episode of ABC Bite Size,
a sub-series of the Anarchist Book Club, in which we aim to give overviews with key quotes of history books in Spanish that haven't been translated into English and which we think might be of interest. If you think this is a good idea and can contribute from other source languages, then please get in touch with us either by email, abcwithdannyandjim@gmail.com, Twitter @abcdannyandjim, or Facebook. Today I'm going to be talking about one chapter of Los Incontrolados de 1937, Memorias Militantes de los Amigos de Durruti by Miquel Amorós, published in 2014 by Aldarull, a Barcelona-based publishing house that is an important reference point for Spanish anarchist historiography. The book is a collection of biographies of members of the Friends of Durruti, an anarchist group which was formed in 1937 to oppose the rolling back of the Spanish Revolution and the policy of state collaboration adopted by the leadership of the Spanish anarchist movement. The chapter that this episode looks at is a biography of Juan Santana Calero, an important activist in the libertarian youth. One area which I think deserves more emphasis than Amorós gives is in regard to Santana's attitude to revolutionary unity with the Marxist party, the PUM, which I intend to expand on in a piece for our Substack at some point. Thanks to Mike from Chicago for getting in touch many months ago asking for a bite-sized episode on one of Miquel Amorós's books. A sample of Amorós's writings has been made available in English on LibCom by the anonymous hero alias Recluse, but unfortunately the vast majority of his important historical work remains untranslated. I hope you find the overview of this chapter on Juan Santana Calero interesting. A transcript of the episode is available on request. Juan Santana Calero was born in Adra, a town in Almería, in 1914. Forced by the death of his father to begin work at an early age, he joined the anarcho-syndicalist union, the National Confederation of Labour, CNT, in 1931, the year that Spain became a parliamentary democracy under the Second Republic. By then living in Malaga, Santana became involved in the Ateneo de Divulgación Social, a cultural and educational centre known as the Cathedral of Proletarian Malaga. He discovered a talent for oratory, a prized skill in those days of limited schooling and high levels of illiteracy, and was involved in founding the city's branch of the Libertarian Youth, an organisation which was founded on a national level in 1932. These were fractious years of working class struggle and state repression. Santana was arrested in June 1933 following a general strike in Malaga called by the CNT, and subsequently went on hunger strike, finally being released in November. He continued an intense level of activism, becoming a highly popular speaker and starting to contribute to the Confederal press. When an abortive military coup resulted in civil war in July 1936, Santana was in his hometown of Adra, where he took a leading role in the events that saw the military rising quashed there and in the surrounding area. Returning to Malaga, he joined the first militia column raised in the city, organised by the Libertarian Youth, which departed in the direction of Granada, a city that had fallen to the coup. However, this action was betrayed by a captain of the military police who had feigned loyalty to the Republic, resulting in an unexpected aerial bombardment and strafing that led to the dispersal of the column. The experience led Santana to recognise that his horror of violence made him unsuited to the front line, and he subsequently gave himself over to organisational and propagandistic labour in the rearguard. As Amorós comments, this decision would lead to doubts about his bravery that would be used against him maliciously when he criticised the leadership of the anarchist movement. Back in Malaga, Santana was the founding editor of Faro, mouthpiece of the CNT in the city, through the pages of which the revolutionary process could be traced, such as the collectivisation of workplaces, but also the discrepancies that arose between the power of the revolution and the subsisting republican state. This dilemma was all the more urgent because of the situation that Malaga found itself in after the first months of the Civil War. Abandoned to its fate by the central government and politically divided, by the beginning of 1937, the city faced a dire panorama. As Amorós puts it, without supplies, it was defended by a few thousand militia, many of whom had no weapons, while those who did had little ammunition. Artillery and transport were scarce. 300 kilometres of unfortified front lines were defended by less than 10,000 rifles, 30 machine guns, and some 40 cannon and mortar. An implacable enemy advance began in February. militia and soldiers abandoned the villages where they were stationed so as not to be cut off by the motorized nationalist columns. Their arrival in Malaga produced panic among the population, and with enemy aircraft and boats unopposed by their Republican counterparts, the city could be bombarded at will from air and sea. The military chief of the sector ordered the abandonment of the city on the 7th of February, and Juan Santana Calero left that afternoon on the fatal road to Almería, along which refugees were shelled by the enemy. As Amorós makes clear, the fall of Malaga established with brutal clarity the dividing line between the partisans of the state and of the revolution in what remained of Republican Spain, producing two entirely opposed interpretations of what had gone wrong, and two entirely opposed strategies for avoiding a repeat of such tragedies in the future. From Almeria, Santana moved to Barcelona, where he joined the editorial team then running Ruta, the newspaper of the Catalan branch of the Libertarian Youth, and the local federation of the FAI, the Iberian Anarchist Federation, as a member of the affinity group Devenir. His fame preceded him, and when he provided his account of the fall of Malaga over the airwaves of Radio CNT-FAI, the Libertarian Youth had speakers set up in their local centres so that he could be heard by as wide an audience as possible. The leading committees of the anarchist movement had interpreted the fall of Malaga as proof of the need to impose militarisation on the revolutionary militia columns and to collaborate loyally with the government. By Amorós' account, they wanted to use Santana as the living proof of their hypothesis, providing him with positions on committees in exchange for his towing the line. However, as Amorós states, for Santana the painful experience of Malaga had produced the opposite effect, and his time in Barcelona would be marked by confrontation with the counter-revolution and with the leadership of the anarchist movement. Santana had arrived at a time of increasing internal tension in the Libertarian Youth over questions of the anarchist movement's collaboration with the Republican government and the participation of the Catalan branch of the Libertarian Youth in the Revolutionary Youth Front alongside the youth section of the PUM. Entering an environment riven with distrust and factionalism did not, however, prevent Santana from throwing himself into journalistic activity, and he not only produced articles for Ruta, but also founded the flysheet Esfuerzo, a so-called wall newspaper whose clear-sighted analysis and revolutionary message was pasted around the city streets. Consequently, Santana found himself among those targeted by the leadership of the movement, who wanted to impose, as the CNT National Secretary Mariano Rodriguez Vázquez put it, a single rhythm on the anarchist press. Responding to these policies at a meeting of the FAI in April, Santana, speaking on behalf of his affinity group, left no doubt as to the radicalism of his position, declaring himself opposed not only to the leadership's attempted censorship, but to the entire policy of governmental collaboration pursued by the anarchist organisations. As tensions in Barcelona rose during the spring of 1937, Santana made clear his opposition to the counter-revolution and advocated a vigorous response on the part of the working class in the lines of Esfuerzo and at a major rally at the Teatro Olimpia on the 13th of April. This vigorous response came during the May Days, when an armed police raid on the telephone exchange was resisted from within and without by anarchist workers, leading to street fighting that lasted 3 days. When the May fighting broke out, Santana was returning from Valencia and staying with his brother in the city of Tarragona to the south of Barcelona. There he was arrested and held at the local police headquarters. Once released, he proceeded to Barcelona, arriving as the fighting was coming to an end. The addition of Esfuerzo that followed hard on the heels of the May Days provided one of precious few unequivocal defences of the anarchist action to escape the censors. His interpretation was shared by the Friends of the Ruta group, which had been particularly active in May and who had openly accused the anarchist leadership of treachery in a leaflet distributed after the events. Santana joined the Friends of Durruti on 23rd of May, shortly before the CNT announced the group's expulsion. According to Amorós, Santana's contact with Jaime Balios, one of the founders of the Friends of Durruti and its most prominent writer, quote, gave greater depth to his critique, but it also singled him out as a complete and dangerous dissident within the organisation, which had immediate consequences. He soon found himself the victim of vicious rumour mongering. End quote. During the summer of 1937, Santana continued to contribute to the Libertarian press, writing for the Friends of the Ruta group mouthpiece El Amigo del Pueblo, as well as the radical paper Ideas and Titan, the publication of the Libertarian Youth in Aragon, for which title he wrote the imperative to, quote, from this moment on, speak to the masses about the need for a third revolution, foreshadowing the Friends of Durruti pamphlet Towards a New Revolution, published the following year. Consequently, Santana was targeted by the leadership of the anarchist movement. He was among those personally threatened by Juan García Oliver, while another of that number, Severino Campos, was witness to what he called a brutal and bilious verbal assault on Santana by Rodríguez Vázquez at a national plenum in June, while in August he was the subject of a tendentious report by Fidel Miró of the Peninsular Committee of the Libertarian Youth. Despite these circumstances, Santana continued to write energetically, with some of his best writing from this period compiled in the pamphlet Affirmation on the March. Amorós highlights Santana's alertness to the international anarchist movement and his insistence on the social character of the Civil War, as well as his bravery in writing in defence of Jaime Balias when the latter found himself imprisoned in September. Nevertheless, Santana left the Friends of Durruti group around this time, which Amorós plausibly attributes to his relenting under pressure and deciding to attempt a level of critique that would not lead to his expulsion from the CNT. In the latter part of 1937, Santana founded two short-lived publications, Esfuerzo, on this occasion a conventional publication rather than a flysheet, and Faro, the latter of which lasted until the beginning of 1938, at which time Santana returned to Andalusia. Following the National Congress of Libertarian Youth in February, at which the collaborationist line emerged triumphant, Santana responded to the charge of purism that was often thrown the way of more radical anarchists, in the following terms, quote, those who do not compromise do not do so out of rigid fanaticism, but because of rational deduction and the conviction that excessive compromise has inflicted serious harm on the revolution. And when the CNT and the FI are following the path of opportunism, does it make sense for the libertarian youth to follow in their footsteps? No. Around this time he joined the army, enlisting in the 147th Mixed Brigade, which prior to militarization had been the anarchist Maroto Column. Aware of his horror of violence, Santana's friends endeavoured to acquire him a non-combat role, and he was charged with responsibility for propaganda, editing the frontline newspaper Nervio, before he was recalled for organisational work in Almería by the Regional Committee of the FI in September 1938. He had only months to live. The end of the war came in the third month of 1939. With the collapse of the front lines and the steady advance of Franco's troops on Madrid and the remaining towns and cities of Republican Spain, a meeting of anarchist activists took place in a square in Baza, a small town on the northeastern outskirts of the province of Granada, on the night of 27th of March. The activists were divided as to whether they should head for the mountains or take the road to Alicante, the last remaining port in Republican territory. This latter option was issued as an order by the High Command of the Army in Andalusia on the morning of 28th of March. Santana took to the road alongside Juan Lozano and Andrés Soler, but discovered that it was cut off at Murcia by armed members of the Falange. They turned around, and to avoid roadblocks, left their car behind and proceeded on foot, eventually arriving at the coastal village of La Mamola, south of Granada. On the 20th of April, they were discovered by police who called in help from the naval detachment quartered in the town. A shootout followed that left Santana wounded in the chest. He was taken to a military hospital and died on the following day. His companions were taken to the provincial prison of Almería and almost certainly summarily executed, since they were subsequently tried in absentia. I'll end this episode with a translation of Amorós's concluding paragraph. Juan Santana Calero, dead at 25, was one of the most important critics of what he called circumstantialism. In other words, the abandonment of principles according to political circumstances, and a fierce critic of Stalinism, whose policies he made it his business to unmask. His work, which cannot be separated from his life, deserves to be better known. His life was short but intense, lived in passionate communion with deeply felt revolutionary convictions. Like many others, he had to learn quickly in the whirlwind of the age. The counter-revolution put obstacles in his way, operating at first through the repressive mechanisms of the bourgeoisie and then from within the ranks of the revolution itself. His personal virtues were used against him, his loyalty to his ideas, puritanical morality, generosity, talent for oratory, abhorrence of violence, good-natured innocence, love of truth and so on, were all weaponized by an enemy that wanted to bewilder him in the labyrinths of the counter-revolution. The traps they laid had to be confronted by the historical protagonist alone, relying on his strength of character. Such is the essence of the historical drama lived through by conscious fighters. The bullet is the last resort when all else fails. His death symbolizes the tragedy of the proletarian revolution on the peninsula and the cruel fate that the reaction reserved for those who tried to achieve the dream of a dignified life in a world of justice and equality. Let this biography serve as a reminder that the sacrifice of so many lives for a noble ideal will be fruitful if it is kept alive in the memory of new generations of rebels. The very existence of the revolutionary cause depends on this memory. Only then can the revolution, which Santana and so many others died for, survive, making sense of his life in a way that monuments of steel and stone never could.